let's shift topics and talk about science careers a little bit.
Sure.
What got you into science?
Well, in many ways, my getting into oceanography in particular is quite tightly related to this lab. I was an undergraduate here at Princeton, and my sophomore year I took a course in physical oceanography from Jorge Sarmiento, who's a faculty member in the program in atmospheric and oceanic sciences, which we run jointly with Princeton. And I was taking physical oceanography and I was taking quantum mechanics, and I was told that in quantum mechanics there were three or four problems that you could do exactly, and we would spend the entire year doing them, and that was going to be it. Whereas in physical oceanography, we would have a class in which we would say, derive the Gulf Stream. And I would look at the derivation and say, well, how well does it work? I was told, well, it doesn't work all that well for explaining some pretty basic things, like why does the Gulf Stream leave the coast at Cape Hatteras? That's a research question. And so I realized that as a sophomore in college, I could ask research questions. And I also realized that in physics, it would probably be another 3 or 4 years before I could really ask questions that would push the frontiers of the field. Now, in some ways, it's a bit ironic. I often tell this story about the Gulf Stream separation being a research question. It's ironic because getting the Gulf Stream to separate properly has been one of the banes of my existence for the past 5 years, because it's one of the things that we still can't do very well in the models. But then the summer after taking that course, I spent a summer at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution as a summer intern and went to sea, and actually ended up going to sea with the person who would be my graduate advisor, my PhD advisor. Spent 2 summers working here at GFDL as a summer intern and worked on my first paper while I was an intern here. And really got a lot of exposure to the range of questions that people ask here. And also to the culture of the field and of the lab. This lab has a very remarkable culture. One of the things that was amazing was to be an undergraduate student working in the lab and to have Suki Manabe, who was really the founder of climate modeling, member of the National Academy, winner of the Blue Planet Prize, come charging into the lab every 2 or 3 days when he'd learned something new and he just had to tell somebody. And so here I was getting to hear the latest results from the person who founded the field. And it was really an incredible experience. I think this lab is a very special place.
What would you say to a young person who's thinking about a career in science?
Well, I think we live at a very privileged time in history. I mean, if you look at even the 1930s, if you look at Germany before Hitler came to power, there were about 60 professors of physics in the entire country. Fortunately for the U.S., half of them came here. We live at a time where there are hundreds of professors of physics in the United States, thousands even, thousands of professors of geology and geoscience, and where the scientific enterprise is such that people can actually get paid to be curious about the world. One of the things I do is help run a competition called Science Olympiad. And at the Olympiads, you have maybe 700 students from dozens of schools participating. And I look around that auditorium, and every one of those students has the opportunity to go on and make a career that involves science, whether it's being a scientist or teaching science in a high school or going into medicine or going into patent law, for that matter. We live in such a highly technological society that we really need people to go into science. Now, if you were to do the same thing at a sports tournament, one or two of those students would be able to go on and make a career in sports. And so what I would tell students in the sciences is that there really are opportunities for people who want to learn about the world and want to teach others about how that world works. For the environmental sciences, for oceanography and atmospheric sciences, what I would say is most of our students in the program, in our graduate program, have gone to college. They've earned degrees in one of the hard sciences, physics, mathematics, chemistry, biology, primarily physics and mathematics, and sometimes also in engineering. Relatively few of our students actually earn degrees in marine and atmospheric sciences. And we find that actually getting that good grounding in the physical sciences and in mathematics is really important for doing graduate work in our field. So that's part of the advice that I give students who are interested in going on to a career in environmental sciences is learn biology or chemistry or physics really well and then apply it. And if you do that, you actually come in with a whole bunch of tools that are useful.